Look at the very last verse of Romans chapter 7, verse 25. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh, the law of sin. That is something that every one of us here can say. Unless, of course, you are not regenerate in Christ. Because if you are regenerate in Christ, if you have surrendered yourself in faith to Jesus Christ, one of the promises that God has for you is that He will put His law in your heart and He will put His Spirit within you. There's a war waging within each of you, within each of us. And that is the flesh versus the Spirit. And this is what Paul is teaching us about today as we come to this part. And this is why he says the key verse in this whole chapter is verse 6. At the end of the verse. Well, look at the whole verse. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. That is the key verse. This is what he is explaining to and unpacking to us. Now, I want to diagram. You have a diagram there in your notes, and hopefully we can fill this in. But there are three states and three stages, if you will, that every individual goes through. And these are words that we find in Scripture. But the first stage is that natural stage down here. That's how you were born. And that word natural, it's the word psychikos. We find that in 1 Corinthians 2:14, where it speaks of the natural man does not understand spiritual things. The natural man. So that word, it means it has, for example, it's what we have in common with the animals. Now, we understand that we are not animals. Okay, but this is something that we have in common with the animals. We have the breath of life. Okay, and therefore we are thinking creatures. But as a breathing creature, we are subject to appetites and passions. Now, in the Adamic fall, in Genesis chapter 3, we were reduced to people that communed and fellowshipped with God, to this breathing being that is led by appetites and passions. And that's why the mantra of the world, which is so well championed by Hollywood and the media today, is to follow your heart. But what is it that the Bible tells us about the human heart? It is deceitful and desperately wicked. And that is because we have chosen a path of independence from God. We are that branch that has been cut off, has severed itself from the tree, and has no source of life. And that is the condition of the natural man. And that's the word psychikos. And I know you can't read that, but that's what it is anyway. All right? So that's the natural. This a person who is in a natural state is a person who is self-preeminent. That means I'm the greatest and most important reality in my life. That's what self-preeminent means. That is the natural state of humanity. I am the greatest and most important reality in my life. We were born that way. That's self-preeminence. That's the natural man. Okay? And everything about me, my mind, my physical being, everything grows and is developed and is saturated in that untruth, because it is an untruth. That's the natural man. Now, there is a dotted line that you have there, and that dotted line represents faith. Okay? It represents conversion. It represents at that moment in space and time when you, as a rational, conscious, willful, emotional, volitional being, surrender yourself to the infinite, sovereign, benevolent Creator, Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again. When you surrender yourself to Him in faith, then the Bible says that you are regenerate. It says that you are a new creation. There is a newness about you. Something happens within you, and life now exists in a way that it did not exist before. But then that brings the person then out of the grave up to this point, and that point is that the person is carnal. This is the word that the scriptures use. And that word in the Greek is sarkinos. Sounds carnal, sounds better, doesn't it? You don't want to be a sarkinos Christian. And we find this, keep your finger there in Romans and turn with me ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, the apostle says to the believers at Corinth, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Okay? So the sarkinos, the carnal person, is a babe in Christ. Let me use the word baby. You know, babe today is just doesn't mean the same thing, right? I heard somebody call. Okay, we won't go there. All right, a baby in Christ, an infant in Christ. When you are an infant, even in the human sense, what is true about you? You have much learning. You have much growing to do. Even as an infant, a baby, infant human being, what is true about them? What can they do? Cry, sleep, eat, and mess their pants. Can they do anything else? Well, they start growing and developing. Eventually, they can smile, right? And you get the smile, and then they start responding. They start discovering their hands, and eventually they start crawling and then walking. But see, it's a progress. It's a process, isn't it? All right? But the person who comes to Christ in faith, when you are an infant in Christ, you are sarkinos. You are still a baby in Christ. That means you have a lot of growing to do. What is the growing that needs to happen? Well, see, what is it that we're dealing with here? Self-preeminence. This self-preeminence has to be grown out of one's life. Okay? And so you are dealing with the battles of the flesh. And that is what represents over there. So the struggles of the flesh. That is the sarkinos person. Now, there's a progress up here to the next level is the word spiritual person that Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And we will read so much about as we come to Romans chapter 8. But that word spiritual, listen to this. Those of you who work with tools, spiritual, pneumatikos, begins with a P, by the way. Pneumatikos. Pneumatic tools. Anybody here ever tried to roof a house? You ever use a hammer and nails? Unfortunately, I have. And unfortunately, several times I hit the wrong nail. But you know, you get this pneumatic tool up there and you go boom, 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 just like that. And that's a whole lot better than for one nail, right? Never mind that. That was extra, okay? All right? Pneumatikos. Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, okay? In the power of the Spirit, a spiritual person. Now, if you are in Christ, the objective of the Christian walk, of your walk of faith, is to bring you from here to here. Because if you are a spiritual being, you are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. If you are not a spiritual Christian, if you are still a carnal Christian, you are still deeply struggling with the lurings of the flesh. You are still manifesting self-preeminence, and you are what the Bible calls a carnal Christian. You are yet a babe in Christ. And the unfortunate thing is, you could have come to Christ in faith 25 years ago and still be here. But the objective of the New Testament, as we see the growing in the New Testament, is to move from here to here. The carnal Christian still feels that he has to exercise self-governance to overcome the lurings of the flesh. Self-governance is what the unregenerate person can do. That's all they can do. The carnal Christian still believes that I still have to exercise self-governance in order to become what God wants me to be. And that's not true. Okay? So it's moving from here to here. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it in its lusts, in its selfish passions and cravings. Me first. I am the greatest and most important reality. That is what the lust of the flesh means. I perceive everything in life in terms of how it relates to me and how it benefits me. That's the lust of the flesh. That's self-preeminence. That is the natural state. Even as a carnal Christian, I need to work beyond that. Now, this is the battle that Paul is speaking of in verses 21 to 25. In fact, that whole portion there, verse 13 and following. Because I believe he is speaking as a regenerate man. But he recognizes that there needs to be movement from here to here. Now, ask yourself this question this morning. How long have I been in Jesus Christ? When did you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Are you still over here where you are deeply battling the lurings of the flesh every day? Now, it's not like you're either here or here. We should be somewhere in between, moving in this direction. And that moment in that day when Jesus Christ appears and I am with him face to face, I will be 100% here. I can't wait. Because I'm that wretched man that Paul speaks of. That wretched man, that word wretched means somebody that's fatigued from battle. I'm worn out. This is a war that's going on in every believer. Are you here or are you moving in this direction? In your adversities of life, do you still behave and respond in the same way that the world does in their natural propensities? Or are you up here where you are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness? Against such there is no law. You see, it's not about just self-governance. It's not about being a better person. It's about who's in control. This is what Paul is teaching us here. So we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are, and this is what he says also in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, let's look at the words that are used in this paragraph at the end of Romans chapter 7. I find then, verse 21, this is what the apostle says is true. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. I do not believe he is speaking of the Adamic nature. I believe, once again, Paul is speaking as, now there are theologians and scholars who would disagree with me on this, but that's okay. They have a right to be wrong. Okay. It's just, you with me, okay? I believe he's speaking as a regenerate, because Paul was a regenerate man, and he is beyond speaking of the dilemma of the unregenerate. He passed that way back in chapter 3, verse 20. Okay? So now he is speaking as a regenerate man, and this is the war that is going on within. And when he says, operate in the newness of the Spirit, not the oldness of the letter, the oldness of the letter is merely self-governance. Doing the checklist. I'm supposed to do this and this and this and this and this, and if I do these things, I'm okay. That's self-governance. That's not operating in the newness of the Spirit. So I need to recognize that there is this war that is going on within me, and it's a conflict of two poles. All right, chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That word law is the word nomos. And it's used many times, and it's used sometimes in Romans, and the way it's used, we need to pull it from its context in order to understand how it's used. But the law, that evil is present with me, you can understand that law as a pull that you have to deal with. For example, gravity, we know gravity to be a what? A law. Where am I standing? If I step out, if I move my other foot, where am I going? The law of gravity dictates that. Unless somehow I can override the law of gravity. I haven't figured that out yet on my own, right? But that's the law of gravity. So the law here, this is the law that evil is present with me. It is a pull that I have to deal with. You, even as a believer, have a pull inside of you that you have to deal with, and that's called the flesh. It is the after effects of the Adamic sinful nature that has now been set aside, but it is the after effects of that Adamic sinful nature. And there still remains a pull within you that you have to deal with. It's like saying a natural bent. In my flesh, he says, nothing good dwells. So understand that you, as a regenerate being, are a believer. You are a new creation. God has given you a new heart, his spirit on your heart. He's put his law within your heart. But you still have this flesh to deal with. And it has a natural pull. And the natural pull of the flesh is selfishness. Me, myself, and I. I am the greatest and most important reality. Okay? So he recognized that there is this war that is going on. Now what he says in verse 22, he says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That is a verse from which I understand that Paul speaks as a regenerate man. An unregenerate man cannot say verse 22. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I don't believe an unregenerate person can say that. He says, I will to do good. I delight in the law of God. And that is because God says, I will put my law on their hearts. So, as he speaks of that law of God on my heart, as one who is born of God and a new creation inside, I have this inherent desire within me to please God. I love him and I want to please him. And that is that pull that exists within me, that I delight in the law of God. However, I still have the flesh and I still have to deal with the flesh. And the pull of the flesh is selfishness, and I have to deal with that. You see what Paul is speaking of here? There's this war that battle is wages within you. And our progress in that battle is this line right here. Romans 13, 14, Galatians 5, 16. Our progress in that battle. So that war, now look at verse 23. I see another law in my members. And that word members is a word that means limbs. Okay, so it is speaking of the physical being. I see another law, nomos, a pull that I have to deal with in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Again, the law of my mind is, I want to please God because I love him. But the law in my members is warring against that. You cannot be selfish and be pleasing God at the same time. Not possible. This is what the apostle is telling us here. This is the war that exists. So there is a law in my members waging war. And that word waging war just simply means attacking. It is attacking. It is in opposition to, against the law of my mind, where I, at the core of my being, I love God and I want to please him. And this is what the apostle says in Galatians 5:17. The flesh lusts, is desire, is passionately desirous against the Spirit, and the Spirit is in opposition to the flesh. This is the war that exists within each believer. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. It is in opposition, it is repugnant to the Spirit. And it declares war on the Spirit. This is why the Lord says, Paul says in Romans 13:14, make no provision for the flesh. You know what you need to do? First of all, you need to recognize that you have this war going on within you, and then you need to declare war. You need to declare war with the resources that God has given you, and that is the Holy Spirit Himself, God taking up residence within you. Not in the oldness of the letter, because, you know, what are the struggles that you deal with? The natural pull, that natural bent that you still have to battle against, where somewhere inside of you believe that you are still the greatest and most important reality. What resource do you have to battle that? You need to declare war on it. And when you see it developing, it's like I use the illustration of a tree, using the illustration of grafting that Paul does in Romans 11 as we get there, and in other portions of Scripture. You were cut off, okay, and this is the old you here. This is the old man done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And then grafted into you has been the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So this is Jesus Christ. You've been grafted into Him. And therefore, you can produce fruit. Now, this represents you and your personality and all of that. And what grows down here below the grafting part? These little things that grow out, long, skinny little branches, are called what? Suckers. You gotta nip them in the bud. You cut them off. What do you do with a sucker? You cut it off. Because if you don't cut a sucker off, what becomes of it? It grows bigger and bigger and bigger, and it saps more and more, well, you know, sap, strength, life, and it robs it from the newness. All right? Let's cut it off. You need to declare war on the suckers, because the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And so you need to cut them off. And this is the battle that rages for us day in and day out. I see then another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. My physical being that has yet to be redeemed, that is habituated in sin, which includes my mind and all the connections that are there. So that when I approach a particular circumstance in my life, I naturally have this response to it. That's the flesh. But in Christ, I can override that through the Spirit. This is what chapter 8 is going to be talking about. Right? But that war that rages within me can leave us tired. And the farther you are down here, the more exhausting you're going to get. Now, here's a tragic truth. There have been people who have been Christians for decades, and they've never gotten beyond this point. And they get frustrated, and they start thinking, well, Christianity isn't worth it. I don't feel any more victory. I don't feel any more spiritual or Christ-like than the unregenerate person. I still struggle with everything exactly the same way they do. There's no difference in me. So what do? They give up. You know anybody that way? I do. They give up. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I don't want to deal with it. Maybe this is something that confronted Paul. Because what is it that he said, verse 24? Look at it. What does he call himself? He's a wretched man. You ever see pictures of a soldier who has just come out of 36 hours of intense battle? He is bloody. He's leaning up against a rock. He's wore out. He says, I'm tired of fighting the battle. This is Paul's picture. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? This body that is yet to be redeemed. This body that is habituated in selfishness and self-preeminence. This body that keeps trying to convince me that I am the greatest and most important reality. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Now listen some. This is very, very important. Aren't you glad that he does not say, what will deliver me? He says what? Who will deliver me? Your deliverance from this battle with the flesh does not come in a what. It doesn't come with another list of expectations. It comes from a who. So you can go from verse 24, who will deliver me from this body of death? Jesus Christ our Lord. But before he mentions the name of Jesus Christ, he goes into a brief nanosecond of doxology. I thank God. In other words, for the believer, you don't have to stay here. You don't have to remain in the place where you're constantly battling and failing to the lurings and cravings of the flesh. You can move on from that and become a spiritual being where you exude the love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that the cravings will cease. But it does mean that you will less and less and less fulfill those cravings. And you will become more and more victorious in that battle that is waged inside of you. The rescuer himself, in verse 25, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the Spirit of Christ. That's what he is called in chapter 8. Why Paul says in chapter 13, he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. We need to stop and think about what that means, and we will when we get there. Romans 13, it's going to be a while. But study it, okay? What does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's his righteousness. It's his robe of righteousness, okay? We need to remember that Paul said in chapter 6, verse 11, to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God. So to put on the Lord Jesus Christ can mean many things, and we're not going to unpack that right now because we're not there yet. But to reckon yourselves, who are you in Christ? Are you just another defeated, unregenerate person? You have no power over the flesh. You are in bondage to them, and you have to say yes to them. The only recourse you have is self-governance, but that doesn't change who you are on the inside. That doesn't transform you at the level of desire. And you see, that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit of God transforms me at the level of desire. Where I get to the point where I recognize that these cravings of the flesh become so repugnant and so repulsive to me that I don't desire them anymore. But I desire to please God. And I move in that direction in the power of the Spirit. It's very easy to get a little ahead of ourselves here. All he does is just mention who the rescuer is. But let me say this, and this is key, folks, and if you hear anything today, hear this. Your advantage in the struggle with sin is found in your connection to Jesus Christ. Your advantage in the struggle with sin is found in your connection to Jesus Christ. If you remember the illustration of the kite and the kite string, does a kite just fly in the wind by itself? No, it doesn't. Attached to it is a string. Is it just the string attached to the kite? Is that all it is? No. What's at the other end of the string? Somebody is holding that string. And as long as that string remains tight, the person holding the string has control over the kite. That's why I say, keep that connection tight. And you will find yourself walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. I like the statement of Francis Schaeffer in his study. He did a study on the first 8 chapters of Romans called The Finished Work of Christ. And he says this, as we come to chapter 8, we will find that we are introduced in a flaming way to the agency of the Holy Spirit, who is the point of contact between us and the power of the resurrected Christ. Read chapter 8 for the next couple of weeks. It is a profound passage of Scripture and a fitting sequel to Romans 6, 7, and 8, 6 and 7. And it's right in line with what he says to the church of Galatia, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just as a preview, look at this verse. Look at chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Folks, we need to grasp what a profound and liberating truth that is. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Don't we want to be there? Is there anybody here who wants to stay here? You're certified crazy if you do. God designed us for here. Not only has He designed us for there, but He has equipped us for that too. That's why He's given us His Spirit. Therefore, let's walk in the Spirit. And that's what we get to in chapter 8. I almost want to stand back and now say, are there any questions or discussions? But our time is gone this morning. But I encourage you to pore over, once again, Romans chapter 6 and 7. The messages are online. You can take your notes and go through them again. Read chapter 8, study chapter 8. What a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture it is. And I've outlined all of the teaching through chapter 8. Listen, chapter 8 is going to take us through the rest of the year. We're going to be studying chapter 8 in August, July and August and September. October is Missions Month. And then we'll come back to chapter 8, the end of chapter 8 in November. And then in December, of course, we'll be focusing on the incarnation of Jesus Christ. But there's a lot there to unpack, folks. And it is such a profoundly liberating passage of Scripture that we walk in newness, that we walk in the Spirit, that we walk in purpose. I encourage you to read it.